You all set?
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Inner West Council panel. First of all, I acknowledge the Gadigal and Wangal people of the Eora Nation on whose country we are meeting today, and to their elders past and present. The panel that you see before you consists of people of various expertise, and they are appointed through a ministerial process, and they're independent of the council and of each of the applicants and people who are otherwise involved. Any declarations of interest will be made, and I understand there's only one to be made today so far. The procedure will be that each person who has registered to speak, and only those who have registered I'm talking about, will be invited to speak for 3 minutes. There may or may not be questions from the members of the panel. Following that determination, the rules expect us to make the determination on the spot. If that's not possible, then there will be the possibility of an adjournment to enable the panel to confer and then to make its announcement subsequently as to its decision. Panel members, as I said, have their own separate expertise, and I'll ask each one of them to introduce themselves so that you understand who you're dealing with. First of all, my name, generally speaking, is Angus Talbot, and I have a background in the law, solicitor, barrister, and I was a judge of the Land Environment Court for 15 years. And I'll ask Mrs. Taylor, who's on my left, to start off with identifying the panel members in their own way.
Thank you, Chair. Mary Lynn Taylor, planning lawyer and chair of one of the state panels, and chair and expert member on a number of the local panels.
Thank you. Ms. Roach?
Kath Roach, Managing Director, Sync Solutions. I work across a lot of local government local councils in New South Wales. I was originally the internal ombudsman at Sutherland Shire Council a number of years ago. On this particular panel, I'm here as the community representative.
I think I'm on. I'm a consultant town planner with qualifications in geography and town planning. I have a mix of local and state and private clients. I am also on the local planning panels at Lane Cove and Bayside.
I have no conflict of interest.
No declaration of interest.
Thank you. Now, we'll deal with the items of agenda as they appear in the reports in the order. The first one is an internal matter regarding the delegation of powers by this panel. This is a matter that has been discussed and formulated between the staff and the three chairs of the panels at Inner West, and this panel has approved the instrument of delegation, which is Appendix A to the report, subject to minor modification in that paragraph 3, the second D and E become E and F, and that the word by between the words variation and less in 3D becomes 2. Otherwise, that delegation power is approved in that form. Item number 2 relates to an application in... Oh, yes, the decision was unanimous. Thank you. All decisions of the panel will be unanimous unless they're referred to otherwise. The second matter on the agenda relates to the property 9 Allman Avenue, Summer Hill. No one has elected to register to speak in respect of that matter. Property is an item of local heritage significance. The proposal is to prune 3 trees and remove 1 tree. The tree to be removed is dead. 3 are covered by the council's tree management controls. The remaining are not. The one that is dead is otherwise classed as a biodiversity risk anyhow. The proposal generally complies with the aims, objectives and design parameters in the Ashfield LEP and the Inner West Comprehensive DCP. There will be no impacts on the heritage significance of the building. The proposal is in the public interest as the remaining trees are to be maintained in accordance with applicable planning controls and conditions. The panel adopts the recommendation in the report at page 18, subject to amending condition H for the purposes of clarity. That condition is amended by inserting as the first paragraph, replace dead mandarin tree with a suitable canopy replenishment local endemic tree. And in the second paragraph after that, leaving out the words required by this consent. Otherwise, the approval is given to the application in accordance with the recommendation and the conditions. Moving on to item number three, that relates to the property 15 Simmons Street. And the first person that I ask to speak in that respect is Mr. Paul Michael Gonzalez. Unless you want the architect and the heritage consultant to speak first. Right, it might be unnecessary for Mr. Gonzalez to say anything after you're finished. Thank you. You're Mr. Rush, Peter Rush.
Yes.
Thank you. 3 minutes.
All right. I haven't got a lot to say there, because I know you've seen us this morning. You understand the circumstances about the design. And,
excuse me, Mr. Rush, have you got your microphone on? Could you press that button?
Do I have to hold it?
Thank you.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, once you're red, you go.
Okay. Look, it's been a long process from the original pre-DA. We did two pre-DAs and then we did the DA. And we've worked with the Inner West, well, previously the Marrickville Council, for quite a long period, and we understand the process. We work very well with the planners. We understand the job and we respect their work, and particularly the Heritage and Urban Design Advisors. So we do revise our work, we do compromise, though it does appear that in this instance is that from reading the report that we were stubborn and that we were not prepared to make any changes. We did make many changes along the way, but by the time it came to the point of submitting the DA, we realised, well, we weren't actually confident that we would get approval, but we did feel we had to take it to the full assessment and get a little bit more into the detail about why the application was refused. So I appreciate the opportunity today for the panel to review the design and have their opinion and assess the project. I think the main issue is the third floor, I think. And it's true that putting a third level onto a skillion terrace house is not easy, because it has a very you have to find the right level of intervention that you're not compromising the physical fabric of that house. So, I mean, we feel we did that. We feel that the third addition was well set back from the parapet so that the building is always clearly defined, that it's not compromised. We understand that it is visible from the street. It's not always possible to design new work that isn't visible from the street, especially if there's some side gaps. I mean, in previous projects, we have been successful in getting approval in heritage areas where the addition is visible. So I did feel that this design was worth pursuing. The addition, I mean, it's described as being overbearing, ill-proportioned, and generally some quite not very nice things. I felt that it was an exaggeration, because I spent a lot of time modelling that gable to make it as inintrusive as possible. And our main constraint was working with the neighbour number 17A, which is a contemporary building, which is poorly sited. It's actually very low in elevation. And our design was in a response to that quite significantly. And, you know, there was constraints, but there were opportunities in working with that horrible exposed concrete block wall. Thank you.
Yesterday,
yeah,
that when viewed directly across the street on Simmons Street, the proposed second floor will not be visible.
Yes,
that's
sir.
Not an apparent conflict with that which you just said, because it clearly will be visible from across the street, other than directly head on, won't it?
Sorry, head on.
Yeah, that's all you're seeking to say there.
Oh yes, sir.
Yes, thank you very much. Any other questions for Mr. Rush? Thank you, Mr. Rush. Mr. Lay, Mr. Bruce Lay.
Excuse me, Mr. Lay, could you press the button?
Okay. 3 minutes starts now, Mr. Lay.
Okay. Is the roof addition, which is visible if you're looking for it. It's not particularly visible otherwise. And I think that it's compatible with the form and subservient to the principal form. And being a contributory building, I think that the principal form is what needs to be achieved. And I think that's been done. The changes within are primarily to mediocre or modified fabric in any case, except in the case of the stair. The stair is too steep and rather substandard, so the proposal is to reconstruct to make it safe but reproduce its character, which I think is a fine response, and this council has approved a number of my jobs on that basis, which are actually heritage items. So on that basis, I think that it has merit.
Thank you, Mr. Lay.
Yep.
Mr. Gonzales, calling questions, Mr. Lay.
Okay.
Mr. Gonzales, do you wish to say anything further?
Yeah. Essentially, we engaged a number of architects before going with Seaman and Rush to find someone that could achieve the balance. We actually did want to retain... Yeah. We actually did want to retain sort of the front of it to be as is, but it does actually need extensive repair. The house next door that was built caused a whole load of issues that became a legal case when we purchased it, we knew. Part of the repairs are actually are fixing some of the issues that we actually do need to do. The house leaks all the time, so getting this through would actually fix a lot of the issues for us that we have. That's it. Thank you.
This is a request for a review of the determination to refuse the application made on the 16th of August 2018. The two-storey dwelling house is a contributory building within the Enmore House Estate Heritage Conservation Area. The application for review submitted in October. When the application was lodged, there were no modifications to the plans and no supporting documentation had been received until yesterday. There were several pre-development applications in 2017, so the matter's been going on for some time, as we've just heard. The current development application seeks consent to demolish part of the premises and carry out alterations to the ground and first floors and attic. Demolition of the primary roof form and construction of a third level appear contrary to applicable conservation controls. Similar observations apply to the proposal for demolition of the rear wing and replacement with a contemporary rear wing. The proposal appears also to be inconsistent with the consistency of the streetscape of single and two-storey terraces and roof form, typically a skillion roof behind a parapet wall. The panel confirmed that observation during its site inspection today, and there have been no specific examples put to the panel to the contrary. The panel agrees with the conclusion that the proposal would be an intrusive element when viewed from the street and rear from an heritage point of view. Prior to this meeting, as I said, nothing further had been presented since the original determination that would have helped to persuade the panel to conclude that the proposal will not result in adverse heritage bulk and scale impacts contrary to the relevant planning controls. Further submissions were received on yesterday, the 11th, and the applicant, the architect and the heritage consultant have addressed us without providing any new material but merely supporting the previously put forward submissions in support of the application. The panel believes that the public interest is best served by requiring that the proposal comply with the applicable development controls to ensure that the character of the area is maintained with no adverse effect on the surrounding area. Accordingly, the panel agrees with the conclusion at page 35 and 36, and the recommendation at page 36, which entails the development application being refused for the reasons generally set out in the report and roughly summarised by me just now, and the decision of the panel in this regard is unanimous. Moving on now to item number 4, which relates to the property 26 Young Street, Annandale, and there are three people listed to speak in regard to that property. The owner, Mr. Groom, is listed. Mr. Groom, could you just come forward? Just come forward for the moment. I just want to ask you and your consultants this question, that if the plan was to be left in the form that you presented it, without the 1 metre extra setback that the council report recommended, would you still need to address us? No. I didn't think you would. Does the same go for Mr. Geschelt? Not speaking anyway. And Ray Stevens, you've got nothing more to say. You don't want to talk us out of it.
No, Kelly Beattie.
Oh, sorry, wrong architect. Yes, it's Kelly Beattie, sorry.
That's my name. Happy to speak. Yeah. Know nothing about it, but happy to speak anyway.
Yes, we know the type. All right, thank you, Mr. Groom.
Have a seat.
The amended proposal for rear ground floor extension, demolition of the existing rear building and replacement of a rear first floor door floor deck with some ancillary works has addressed issues relating to overshadowing bulk and scale, tree impact, private open space and stormwater management. The issue of non-compliance with the development standard is in respect of site coverage by 22%, and that is what has resulted in the reference of the application to this panel. The applicant has provided a written request seeking to justify the non-compliance. Generally speaking, strict compliance with the standard is unreasonable in circumstances where there is an existing non-compliance. The block is extraordinarily narrow and there is no adverse impact on the amenity of joining premises. However, having regard to the objective of site coverage standard to protect the amenity of neighbours, the council suggested in its report that it would be appropriate in this case to reduce the rear alignment of the ground floor as proposed by 1 metre to effectively mitigate bulk and scale and solar impacts to the property situated across the boundary. The panel does not agree on those perceived impacts, and such as they might be to a small degree, they are acceptable in the circumstances. The proposal is acceptable from a heritage perspective and complies with FSR and landscape standards. The panel adopts a conclusion in the report at page 87 and the recommendation for approval at page 88, except now that the panel has agreed to allow the property to be altered without the requirement for a 1 metre setback at the rear. Condition 4 is deleted. The public interest is taken into account by ensuring that the impact on the amenity adjoining premises is controlled. The decision to approve the application is unanimous.
No, it's not.
I'm sorry. No, it's not. It's a unanimous between three of us. Mrs. Taylor has something else to say, and she will deliver a dissenting determination and opinion.
Yes.
Thank you, Mrs. Taylor.
Thank you. I wouldn't approve this application as I don't believe the heritage outcome at the rear of the property is satisfactory.
Thank you.
So the decision is 3-1.
Yeah, so the majority vote's 3-1.
There it is.
Yes, there it is. Thank you.
I agree. It's 3-1.
Yep. Okay. Yep, everyone agrees. The next matter is item number 5, and that relates to the property 12 to 14 Gladstone Street, Lilyfield, involving an additional storeroom and toilet at the rear. No one's listed to speak. It's an application to modify an existing consent. There are no adverse amenity impacts to surrounding properties. The development as modified will result in substantially the same development for which consent was originally granted. The additions will not be visible outside the property. A clause 4.6 request is not required for an application for modification. However, such a request the panel believes would have been successful for the reasons outlined in the report at page 139. The only objection related to the sufficiency of the plans, which was attended to by council. The panel adopts the observations in respect of the public interest at page 142 of the report. The conclusion and recommended by council officers at page 142. That is a unanimous decision.
It is.
Thank you.
Yes.
Item number 5. Now, item number 6. This relates to the Summerhill Hotel at 1 Lackey Street, Summerhill. Mrs. Taylor will be required to leave the room as she's made a declaration of interest in respect of this application. And the person listed to speak in respect of it this time is Nicole Lennon.
Hello.
God, this is small.
It's
all right. Okay, it's bigger. Thank you, Ms. Lennon. Your 3 minutes starts now. Thanks.
And did my light come, my lights on?
Yep. Away you go.
I didn't have too much to say other than I'm speaking for the applicant today. We're happy with the report. As you know, it's a review of determination. We've cleaned up our application and our acoustic report has been fixed up. Our plans are clearer and we're happy with the recommendation and hope that...
Thank you. Can we just raise an issue with you?
Yes.
With condition A71... If you go to that condition, you will see that the impact of what is going to happen there as a consequence of the work that's been done and the closing off of the doors and so on is that there'll be no smoking on the premises after 10. Is that your understanding as well? Probably a good thing.
My understanding is that the doors would be closed, but people could still enter and leave the smokers' terrace, that there was the doors were closed for that reason.
Yes.
my understanding, the way I read it, and maybe I have read this differently, was that the roof would also close, the roof would also close in that particular area after 10 p.m. And so for me that was a concern because it changes the usage of the smoking area in that area and in the other terrace in the front where the bar, where the current bottle shop is. Can you just talk me through that or the intention?
I think, well, that wasn't my understanding, but I don't think that was part of the application that we offered to close the roof at that time. Is that coming out as a condition
of... It's part of the acoustical recommendation, isn't it?
Okay, I'll have a look at this.
No.
Sorry, I'm just going to the acoustic recommendation. Self-closing mechanisms, right. Is that...
Just one moment, please. We'll just bear with me a sec.
That's fine.
Okay, so 6.1, what page is it? 225. We're just looking at page 225 as we speak. Right, so we might have a difference in the actual... So page 225, you've got your outdoor terrace saying... At dot point one, all external doors, windows in the outdoor terrace area to be closed not later than 10 p.m, not including the operable terrace.
That's
in
right.
The actual report itself, I think we might have had a council staff member as part of their report talking about that closing. Your intention is not to close the roof?
No, because...
Sorry, I should have said that. So your intention is not to close the roof and retain that as a smoking area after 10 p.m, is that correct?
That's right. We always have to have... consideration of smokers on the premises,
yes.
But it would be just for the external doors, etc., to be self-closing.
With the view that you're limiting 16 people on the balcony, on that outdoor terrace at any one time?
Yes,
still
and
after
that no
time?
Noise is coming from inside the premises, you know, coming through and out the roof.
Thank you.
Any further clarification required by the panel members? All extended to the outdoor terrace. Well, closed means closed, but that doesn't mean they can't go out, that's all.
No, so they've got something. That's
yeah,
fine.
So
they'll
that's
be
right.
able to use that area.
Yes. Thank you.
Thank you.
This is a section 8.2 review of an existing approval to alterations and additions to the Summer Hill Hotel. It was refused on the 28th of August 2018 on the grounds of adverse impact on amenity of surrounding properties, inadequate acoustic report, lack of adequate description of an open terrace area. A revised acoustic report has enabled an assessment of the impact of the proposal, which is now supported by Council's Environmental Health Officer and the panel. Conditions have been incorporated to lessen potential acoustic impact. An exhaust discharge vent is to be installed to the adjoining room, to the gaming room, which is viewed as satisfactory to address the prospect of smoke generation. There are also conditions proposed to control this operation. The panel endorses the reasons for addressing the public interest at page 183, the conclusion at page 184, the recommendation at page 184, subject to the amendment of condition H. Let's just find that. What page is that on?
Is on page 190.
190. And the H3 C2, where it's required that the acoustic consultant recommends additional treatment of works, there have to be, they must be submitted to the noise. They must be to submitted to council, implemented to the acoustic consultant's satisfaction. The panel is in desirous of inserting, I'll get it in a minute, inserting the additional words "and council's satisfaction" after the word "consultant," so that it's clear. Subclause 3 of condition HC2 reads, implemented to the acoustic consultant's and council's satisfaction before the end of the first 60 days of public entertainment provided on the premises. Otherwise, the consent is granted in accordance with the report and the conditions that are published from page 185 onwards.
Right.
Yep. Moving on
I'll
to...
I'll just get Mary Lynn back.
Oh, yes, get Mary Lynn back. Can someone do that, please?
Thank you.
Be noted in the minutes that Mrs. Taylor returns to the forum. Item number 7 relates to the property 10 Montague Street, Balmain. And there are all these people here. And the first person...
Only one. This one.
Yes, that's right, I got it. Yep, thank you. The person who's listed to speak and registered is Ray Stevens. You could probably speak on this one, Mr. Stevens, because you might know something about it. Rather than your very helpful volunteer effort last time.
My client is quite happy with the conditions. Well, they're accepting of the conditions. There's a few little quibbles, but we won't waste the panel's time here. I would just raise the issue, and it may have been covered by item one, that the reason why this has come before the panel, it would have been approved November last year, is because of the issue of the heritage items coming to the panel. Is it possible to have delegation for these minor issues so that they don't come to the panel, which would save council a lot of money and clients a lot of time?
Some steps have been taken in that direction in the first item on the agenda today.
There so that's
an
been
additional delegation, and it was particularly to take account of not only the fact that there was additional administrative work by going to the panel, but also it overcame the delay in dealing with applications in respect of minor matters so far as applicants are concerned. So you might or might not be happy with that, but there's progress being made.
That's wonderful.
Thank you, Mr.
Thank you.
Stevens. Any questions for Mr. Stevens?
No.
All right. I'll ask... Ms. Day to indicate. We just have a conference first. Are you right still?
Yes.
I'll ask Ms. Day to present the determination and the reasons on behalf of the panel. Thank you.
The panel has visited the site this morning. We're aware that the application has been the subject of much negotiation between the applicant and council over time, and the proposed development has been significantly modified since its first lodgement. This has been in relation to building design and the reduction of impact on the adjacent street trees. In relation to the objector regarding the loss of privacy to the neighbour across the laneway, the panel agrees with Council's assessment that the proposal does not result in an unreasonable privacy impact. This is on the basis of 10 metres of separation between the buildings and the fact that the proposed room is a bedroom and bathroom, which is a low-use area. So on that basis, the panel approves the application in line with the council report recommendation on page 253. And the decision is unanimous.
Does it go off?
Because the other one is off.
I see. Oh, I see. The last item in this part of the session relates to the property 13 Union Street, Balmain East, installation of a new piece of play equipment, a new synthetic turf soft fall and replacement of a storage shed in a play centre which is owned and operated by the council. No objections were lodged. The various inquiries have been made by council officers. The reason that it's before the panel is because the council is the owner of the premises involved. The public interest is best served by the consistent application of the requirements of relevant environmental planning instruments, and that has occurred here. The proposal complies with the aims, objective and design parameters contained in the LEP and DCP and will not result in any impacts, or certainly no significant impacts, on the amenity of adjoining premises and the streetscape. It's considerable suitable for approval, and the panel so decides and adopts the recommendation that appears at page 341 of the report. Now that brings us to the end of the first session. I take it that we're ahead of time, Luke, and with people are not here in relation to number 9. Okay. That's the property. That's Stanmore Road. Well, there's no one listed for Stanmore Road anyway. Well, there's no one registered, but it is... How far ahead of time are we?
Way ahead of time.
It's too big a time to be dealing with anything at this stage, I think, because the time indicated for the second session was 3:30, was it?
Nevertheless, people are here. People are here, for example, for Moonbee. They're all here.
Moonbee, are they?
Yes.
But you wouldn't know that they're all here.
No, we didn't publish a time.
Oh, you didn't publish a time?
No. We stopped doing that.
I see. All right. Well, in that case...
Is anyone here for number 9?
No one's listed for number 9. We'll deal with that.
Interested in it?
You might... seeing this is after the intermission... You might see if anyone's interested in participating in the application relating to 308, 314 Stanmore Road, Petersham outside.
Oh, yeah. No, there's a gentleman here in the room.
Yes, but there may be some outside. Nobody? So there's no one here to make any submissions. I'll ask Mrs. Taylor to indicate the outcome of the panel's deliberation.
Yes, this is an application to modify an approval that's already been given to a heritage item, which is the fire station, and this application is to add more rooms to the approved hotel. The panel is generally in agreement with the application to modify and wanted to discuss with the applicant, if they were here, some minor changes to the plan of management.
Excuse me, Mary Lynn. This gentleman keeps putting his hand up for number 9.
So are you here to speak to that?
I'm the architect for the project. I'm happy to answer the question.
All right.
Would you like to come forward?
Yes, there is a couple.
Have you got somebody from BBC Planning coming? Nevertheless, would you like to come forward?
You're the architect. There are a couple of questions we would have liked to ask. I'm sorry we hadn't seen your indication of presence. We called for people. Now, what, a couple of things Mrs. Taylor might want to put to you. Oh, what's your name, please?
Jonathan Peterson.
Jonathan Peterson.
Yes.
And your connection with the property?
You're the architect of Preston Peterson, is that correct?
That's correct, yes.
Thank you. We've received from BBC Planning, Mr. Peterson, a draft plan of management.
Yes.
And the council report recommends things that are not totally agreeing with the plan of management. For example, hours of operation.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we wanted to talk to you about hours of operation. But the first question I have of you,
yes.
Did you want to speak first or do you want to hear just questions from
We're
us?
Just here to ask questions.
I'll answer your questions, yeah.
In the in the report it seems to suggest that there might be some use of in the restaurant area for car parking, for example, if there was a wedding. We didn't understand that.
Look, it's not the plan for it to be a car park at all. I mean, maybe a drop-off, but it's not planned to be used for car parking at all.
You're aware of the provision in the plan of management to that effect?
No, I must say I'm not, no. So, no, it's not the plan to use as
right.
a car parking
space. It's suggesting that when there is a wedding party, then there might be a use of that restaurant area by wedding cars. And we're not understanding how that would work.
No, I don't see it working at all.
Considering it's a good idea. And so I think we would stick with the first statement in the BBC plan that says no on-site car parking is provided.
Agreed.
Right. Now, then we note that you are seeking a period, or you're seeking that there should be a use of the restaurant until 11 p.m. The council report has not favoured that. The panel thought that perhaps it could adopt the hours suggested in the council report and perhaps give a 12-month trial period for that extended hour to 11 p.m. for restaurants Thursday to Saturday. What would you want to say about that?
I think that's acceptable.
All right, thank you. Then there are conditions generally. The first condition will be, that's different, is that the draft plan of management is to be brought up to date. It's still talking about 24 rooms when I think 21 only are provided, etc.
Yes.
So we would like that to be a condition that the draft plan of management is brought up to date and submitted for approval to the council. Apart from that particular matter, in relation to the conditions, was there anything you wished to say about conditions?
Nope, it's fine, thank you.
Right. Then I think, Chair, we're in a position to make a decision.
Yes, all right, thank you. Could you.
Excuse me, Mr. Chair.
Have you got a question?
Could you just mention
right. that? I'm just being reminded that this is the plan of management does not speak about a complaints register, and we believe that as it's now introducing both food and alcohol into an area where there hasn't been that it might be appropriate for there to be a part in the draft plan of management relating to a complaints register, something you can rely upon, of course, if you're then seeking a permanent extension of hours. So I take it you'd have no objection to including that in the plan of management?
Correct. That would be fine.
Thank you. Then I think we're in a position to make a decision about this matter.
You're right.
Yes.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is an application to modify a determination previously given by this panel and the council for the use of a fire station, which is a heritage item, an adaptive reuse to use it as a hotel. And now this has come back to modify to increase the number of rooms to 21 rooms. The panel has visited the site and understands how that will be accommodated within this heritage item and believes that it is a good use of the heritage item and that what is proposed here will make the heritage item available for being seen and used by the public and who will therefore understand the heritage of this item and the area better. So the panel recommends that the determination is in keeping with the modification rules of the Act and that the application should be approved. It is a unanimous approval subject to the conditions in the council report, and the change would be that there would be an updated plan of management relating to the proposed use and including in it putting in a complaints register,
yep.
And then that there will be an addition to the conditions saying that there is the conditions as proposed by the council are approved, but additional condition allowing a 12-month trial period for extension of hours to 11 p.m. for the restaurant, at which time after that's 12 months from the commencement of the use. A further application will need to be made to seek what hours are being sought at that time.
Just a clarification in relation to it. It's an extension of hours to the restaurant for Thursday to Saturday inclusive.
That's
from
correct.
10 p.m. to 11 p.m. Is that
yes.
correct?
Yes, 1 hour, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. That's all we're offering as a trial period at the present time. And we will specify that there will be no car parking
in the
of
restaurant.
Any kind whatsoever in the restaurant, just to make that clear. I believe that's a unanimous decision of the panel.
Yes.
Aye.
Thank
you. Agreed.
Yeah. Thank you. Now we can go on to item number 10, subject to being satisfied that the people are here. The Perignong team here. What? Grab that architect if you want him.
Trial period for an extended hour, Thursdays to Saturdays, for the restaurant only to 11 p.m. Do you want me to write that? Yes.
It's recorded anyway. They can listen to it.
Right.
Yeah, but just...
It's coming up, Mary. You're happy with what they're doing here on the screen?
Yes, it's very moving for the director.
Yeah, just we've gone back one for the moment, Mr. Moody. While that's happening, now, Mr. Moody, are we really going to listen to everybody?
Maybe not, Chair.
All right. You're usually quite in depth, concise, at times persuasive.
At times.
You might confer with your client as to just who is going to speak while we're just tidying up some bits from the previous matter. You're excused to go back and do that, Mr. Moody.
Thank you.
You straighten this out, or you're still going there again?
I'm just writing a condition for this one.
Yeah, so we'll hang fire. We'll be a minute or so, Mr. Moody. There's a bit of writing having to go on for the last one.
Do you want to have a look at that? I just write out the words for the draft plan of management.
And so this one's for restaurants at 11 p.m. on Thursday to Saturday.
No, I've written it out.
Oh, you've written it out.
Yes. Yeah. Got it.
Well, we just make sure that we haven't done everything in public that we need to do once we get there.
Draft plan of management.
Hi. Thanks again for hearing us. I just want to reiterate the points of objection we put in our submission, which was, and some of the information that's come through process of that. I spent a lot of time speaking to the Ministry of Health and the Department of Population of Health and the relevant bodies for the Clinical Policy Unit to understand exactly what was the requirements around the clinic going in so that I could object appropriately. From what I can see and what I've understood from that, the due process for the assessment of the location of the current clinic was never taken up. They never went through the correct process to understand whether that was approved to be in that location as it normally would. New South Wales... Sorry? This is from the Health Department's point of view. And nor from the Council. The Council has no formal approval for it being there as well, and that's as stated in the application. New South Wales also confirmed in a letter from the CEO of Sydney Area Health that the New South Wales Health do not assess the location, and that's a council responsibility, and that especially given that the council, the location has changed in terms of its context, moving from a hospital to a residential building, that it does come back to determination for the council to actually make the decision on that location. The council has already stated in its report that existing use is not an appropriate defence or a petition position to take, and that there is no rights for existing use. And that means the council has now the right to make a decision on the appropriateness of the location for this clinic within its new situation. Within the methadone clinic guidelines for New South Wales Health for establishment of methadone clinics in New South Wales, which is the current document that they work from or would be working from if they were approving private clinics, which they do not, it states that methadone clinics are not to be located in, adjacent to, residential areas or in areas near schools, colleges or places where children and young people congregate. Further, it says in the other document that they use for accreditation, which is the New South Wales Methadone Clinic Accreditation Standards, the service has to have reasonable access to public transport and is located away from residential development. Those two pieces alone should say that this is an inappropriate location for this facility. I actually support methadone treatment or opioid substitution treatment therapy, but I just feel that this is a totally inappropriate location to have it. In 2004, the Ashfield Council tried to move it and abandoned that move when they realised it would be potentially expensive to continue that pursuit, given the legal challenge and the complexity of the legal challenge involved at the time. The Inner West Council, a lot of the same people that are here, the planning panel refused that this was to be used as that in the approval for the boarding house that this will be part of. Yep. And importantly, I feel that given one of the other criteria is that there should be no significant community objection, and there's been a significant amount of objection towards this development and where it is. I feel that while the clinic is potentially servicing a sector of the community and can be reasonably argued that it does, whether it's locals or not is up for debate, I think that the location within a residential facility is totally inappropriate. Not for just for the residents who exist there now, but for the people, the 50-odd residents who will then be living in the same building. And no matter what rules or governance or rules that you plaster on the wall, that's still going to have an effect on their lives, let alone those around them. Yeah, my back fence and side fence both are adjoining to the property.
And how long have you lived there?
About 5 years in that property, and in Summerhill about 15. So,
thank you.
That's correct. Yes. Yep. Thank you. Yep. Thanks for your time.
Good afternoon. Thank you very much for the opportunity to speak. It's my view that, and it's a view of a lot of us, that locating this opioid substitution facility in a quiet residential street is not in the public interest for a number of reasons. Look, this particular site and this activity has never had previous planning approval to operate as an opioid substitution facility. The recommendations report refers to a so-called grandfathering of activities for an activity that never previously had a community assessment and never previously had community consultation, nor did it ever have council approval. And yet we're relying on that to approve this particular proposal. Relying on those grandfather arguments to approve this, I think, is not in the public interest. Secondly, we know, and the recommendations report refers to the New South Wales Health Guidelines, which say, which do not permit new private facilities to be established in new areas like this. So it should be treated as a new activity, and it's not under the current New South Wales Health Guidelines. There are other opioid facilities around metropolitan Sydney. There's quite a few of them. Most of them are attached to public hospitals. None are in quiet residential streets. Hospitals have public accountability. This particular facility, being a private facility, will not have that public accountability. There's no accountability to the local community. And finally, the review doesn't take into consideration the special risks of this facility, the special social risks. And the recommendations report refers in section 4A and 4C, it tries to address crime, security and antisocial behaviour. However, it refers, for example, to the Summerhill ward very generally, compares it to the state average. It doesn't look at the specifics of crime in Moonbee Street, and a broad report can't do that. And I've had my own place broken into, and so have others in Moonbee Street. So it's not in the public interest to allow this to be permitted in this location. In the off chance you've made up your mind that you were going to recommend approval, a fallback position to bring in that accountability at least would be something like an annual community impact progress report by the proponent, so that they are reporting to the community about the community impacts their work or their development is creating. I'd much rather it not be allowed and be put into a hospital, which is quite common and normal in Sydney.
Of course, you don't know who that was or whether they had anything to do with it.
Well, we do. We had the local police came.
Yes.
They investigated.
Yes.
They told us that it was a client of the facility.
I see. Thank you. Any further? Yes, Mrs. Taylor has a question.
Mr. Sabosh, where do you live in relation to the methadone clinic?
I live in Moonbee Street, just down the road.
Right. Thank you very much.
Roach, you got anything?
No questions.
Day. All right, thank you, Mr. Sabolge.
Thank you.
The next person that I ask to come forward is Jason Rudd. Thank you, Mr. Rudd.
Thank you, Chair. Good afternoon. My name's Jason Rudd. I'm a director of the Transport Planning Partnership, a traffic engineering consultancy firm. I was engaged by the Nices, Jane and Tim Nice, who live in Moonbee Street. I'm also a resident of Summerhill and live in Junction Road. I'm
so
the author of
one T in Transport Planning.
The Transport Planning Partnership. TTPP.
TTPP is correct.
That's correct, sir.
All right. Good. Noted. Thank you.
Thank you.
You can start.
Yes, I'm the author of a submission that was lodged in August 2018, and many of those issues that were raised as part of that previous application remain valid. A number of amendments have been made to the application that sits before you now, and I'll talk to those as they relate to sort of the traffic and parking aspects. The main one is that the on-site parking that has been provided for the clinic is not be permitted for patients, it's to be used for staff only. This means that all the patient-related parking and traffic will need to be accommodated on the street. Also, the driveway, which included a waiting bay at the property line to allow two-way movements, has been designed to become the loading area and the ambulance bay. So I'll talk to those as we go through. There's discussion in the council's report about the DCP parking rate and therefore six spaces being needed for the 150 odd square metres that have been applied at a rate of one space for 25 square metres. Now this DCP rate's taken from the RMS guidelines itself. The RMS guideline also has a rate of one per 25 square metres, but this is based on surveys for an extended medical hours whereby the patient stays 27 minutes. Now, as you probably appreciate, the methadone clinic patient time is significantly less than that, 4 or 5 minutes and out. So to use this parking rate as a justification as why all the traffic and parking has now been addressed is a little bit disingenuous. In the applicant's own traffic study that was originally submitted with the report back in 2007, we had something like 13-odd vehicles coming and 13-odd vehicles going within any peak hour associated with the medical centre. So all this is now going to be accommodated on the street and hasn't been picked up as part of the further assessment. Currently, the site provides parking in front of the site, and if, as the applicant seeks to use these existing use rights, then it would be valid to say the existing use of the site includes how they currently use their parking, or at least they did before they moved out. The parking had staff parking on site and also used as a drop-off for patients being dropped off into the site, and those cars that wait on site as well. That parking will be removed under